Good. We're going to start in the book of Philippians this morning. One of my favorite books in the New Testament. And Ed, for your information, we had one Jew approach us yesterday, and we happened to have the Jerusalem Road that we talked with him about. And so we had a lot of folks that we talked with. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul, addressing the Philippian church, gave them a command. And I like the command. Unfortunately, I don't obey it all the time. You will probably find you don't either. But it says in Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 8, or beginning at verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, God put each one of us on this earth to be a blessing to each other. He wanted each of us to minister for him to the others that are here with us. The goal that we all have, or most of us have, is to reach heaven when we leave this life. And the journey should be enjoyable according to the Word of God, what He has said. So let's look at what God has said, and let's see if there are things that we're missing as we make our journey from earth to heaven. The first thing that God tells us is that we are to be careful for nothing. That means that we are not to worry or fret over anything that someone might bring into our life. There are some wicked people out there. They might want to harm us. But we are not to be concerned about them, because God is in control. God is in control. God wants us to be constantly in prayer and supplication. And that word supplication means we are offering prayer along with thanksgiving for answers to that prayer, even before we get them. We should be thanking God for the answer that we know He is going to be sending us. That is what that word supplication means. Sometimes we fail to give God thanks before we receive our answer. It's easy to say thank you when you receive something new and shiny, but can you give God thanks for a broken leg, for low blood sugar, or whatever He might bring into your life at that moment? You know, He has a plan. That broken leg could be part of His plan for you, or whatever drama you might be anticipating or experiencing. You can accept the experience of God. He gives it. He has to give the devil permission to attack you. The devil can't just attack. You belong to God, and He's going to take care of you. He's going to keep you. So you accept the experience as from God, you can do something that you should have been doing all along. Then you give God thanks for that experience. And thank is what he is looking for from each one of us. Unless there's one exception, and that is when God has to deal with our pride, which we all have. And it shows itself from time to time. And as it does so, God deals with it. He's fantastic at getting rid of pride. He knows exactly how to embarrass the truth. It's amazing what God does to take away our pride and to suppress it. The only time that we suffer needlessly from an experience is when we have done something to cause the pain and suffering. There are times when we disobey God's word. And when we do that, we can expect some kind of, not retribution, we can expect some kind of chastening from him to get us back in the place where we need to be. Now, if you are doing things God's way, then God is going to bless you because of the way that you are doing things. And this passage of Scripture tells us about all the different blessings that God can send our way. This life that we are living right now is simply a preparation for the life to come. And the life to come is going to be pure blessing from God. God is going to, we're going to be with him. He is going to bless us all of the time. Every one of us are trying to get to heaven to be with Jesus Christ. We will spend our time praising and worshiping him for as the Lord of glory. But that will be after we have reigned with him during the millennial reign of Christ. You know, we're going to reign with him for 1,000 years here. If you thought about that, 1,000 years to reign with him here. God wants us to be thinking happy thought here on earth. Verse 8, Paul tells us of the things that we're supposed to be thinking about. Let's look at them individually and see if we can do what Paul has told us to do. Let's start off with truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6 tells us, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. If you're planning on going to heaven when you leave this life, then you need to start with accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that's what he is talking about here. The next thing that he wants us to think about is about being honest. He doesn't want you to lie to anyone. Paul told us in Colossians 3:9, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. The old man is our self before we were saved, before we were born again. The devil is a liar from the very beginning. His interaction with mankind is to get mankind to lie to each other. He can get us to lie to one another, we will lose the trust that a person holds with us. And that's a terrible thing, to lose people's trust where they don't believe you anymore. They check behind you to make sure you're doing what you said you would do. Now, you've heard people say, that's not fair. With God, everything is fair. Because one of the things that God is just. And God is always just. That means that he is always fair. He's always. The one thing you cannot say about God is that it's not fair. A lot of people say that. Believe that. That God is not being fair with them. He's punishing them. No, Jesus Christ bore the punishment. And God may be chastening to get us back to where we belong, but he's always fair, he's always correct in all of his actions. We need to remember that. To be just means to be righteous. And that is where we get the doctrine about God being no respecter of persons. He treats everyone the same way. There are times when he may call a particular person to perform a special task for him, but that is with special anointing through the Holy Spirit. This characteristic of God permits him to intercede when we get ourselves in a jam or into a mess. He wants his children to be just so, he wants his people to always do what is necessary to straighten things out. He's always just in his actions, and he will take care of his own children. Some people think that God is not fair when he takes a child home to heaven because that child has not had a chance to live and experience all the things that we have experienced. But God may just be wanting that child to be with him in heaven. God does love children too. And he is God, and he chooses to take that child. That is part of his justice. He has a right to take them home. They will suffer pain or disappointment, but they'll not suffer. They'll be with Jesus. And that's what we are all working for. Purity is the next thing that God wants us to think about. How can we define pure? Well, it means that our activities are free from anything that might corrupt or dilute the singleness of purpose in our activity. When we're commanded to be pure, it means that we would be free of any kind of sin that would cause us to disobey God's command. We would concentrate upon doing exactly what he said in all things. We would need to contemplate our activities to be sure that they were in range of what God has permitted us. All these things are to assure us that we are experiencing the peace that passes understanding in our heart. And that's what God wants you to have perpetually, is the peace that passes understanding. Is that what you are experiencing now? Or are there things going on in your life that are disturbing? God wants you to have it. So God is telling you how to do it right here in this scripture in Philippians chapter 4. There's another way, but it's harder to experience, and that would be the indwelling of God's Spirit, because he brings love, joy, peace. We need to have all the things that are mentioned that the Holy Spirit brings to us. There's one last thing that God wants us to think about. God wants us to think about whatever love that is going to depend upon the individual. What is lovely to one might not be lovely to someone else. For example, I like to watch small critters. Okay? Your wife might not be too happy with small critters. The other morning, I went out to check the bird feeders, came back in, sat down, potion. I looked up, and there was a little chameleon sitting in the middle of the coffee. Little lizard, about that long. And I watched it, and it watched me, watched it, and it didn't move. But maybe my wife put that there to scare me. And so I called her. I said, "Gabby, come in here and see this." She came in. With bug spray and a fly. I said, no, let me get that and get it out of here. There are places in the world where people are glad to have something like that in their house because it catches the bugs, and the mosquitoes, and things that come into the house. And so I did finally catch it, get it, threw it out the door, and so he survived. To live another day till he comes back and again. Some things God has made all the stuff. And you might not appreciate everything that God made. Even that little mouse with the little beady eyes and whiskers that wiggle. God put there here. Now, originally, everything he made was good. But then man sinned, and things changed. And it changed even more after the flood, because God made different. Prior to the flood, he was not able to eat any meat. He was strictly a vegetarian. After the flood, meat was not on the menu. And that is why most of the animals, including the little lizards and mice, fear you, because God put the fear of man in them. So, what is beautiful to one person might not be beautiful to you. But there might be some things that are beautiful to you, they would not be beautiful to someone else. Certain flowers, certain sunsets. God gives us beauty all around us. And it's not as a penalty to you. It's to be a blessing. And that's why God puts it there. To be the blessing that he wants it to be. I sat in the woods. In fact, I sat in the woods about 3 weeks ago. In camouflage. I sat there and I watched the squirrel hopping through the woods, and he hopped up. I didn't move, just sat there. I was sitting on a log, an oak tree, and he hopped right on up to within a foot of my foot, and I thought he was going to jump up in my lap because he did not realize that I was a man. Finally, he jumped up on the log beside me, hopped on a log, never realized that I was a man. That animal was beautiful. God made it. So God puts beauty around for your enjoyment. We just have to look and we have to see it. God does not regulate what is beautiful to you or lovely to you. He sets you at liberty to choose what you want. Some people think that a city full of skyscrapers is beautiful. And other people think that open grassy land and prairies are beautiful. The point is, God created everything for himself and for us. and he was created to be beautiful in the eye of the beholder. Everything that God made has some beauty in it. Even an orb spider whose web is beautiful as it has learned to build those webs. And many people are afraid of spiders, but there is some even beauty in them. God wants us to consider the beauty around us. And that beauty was placed there by God for you, for your enjoyment. God wants you to enjoy what he has made for you. And there are many things that are beautiful if you will just look around and see them. But you need to stop. Realize what is there, what he has placed there. There's a reason that God has given us these instructions that we find here in the fourth chapter of Philippians. Because the more you look, the more you're going to find, the bigger your God is going to become. And you will eventually see everything that God has made as beautiful. And you will see it as a part of God's creation. You will recognize it as a huge and fantastic creation. God wants you to see the way things are so that you will be thinking about him and praising him for all of the things that he has put in you. Now, God wants you to be happy and filled with joy. That is what the Holy Spirit brings when he indwells you. What is the fruit of the Spirit? We find in Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace. God has given that to you because you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Does God love you? He does. I said that hundreds of times over this past week. Of course he loves you. He has made everything for you to enjoy. But there is a problem with some of you. Do you know what the problem is? It's that God loves you and you're afraid of some of the things God has made for you. Let me ask you again, does God love you? The correct answer is yes. God does love you. So why are you afraid of the things that God made for you? The Bible says that perfect love casteth out fear. Let me give you a verse to start working on. 1 John 4:18-19. And we are told in 1 John 4:18-19, there is no fear in love, but perfect fear casteth out fear. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Would God do anything to hurt you? No, he would not. So why are you afraid of what God had made? God made it for your enjoyment, so enjoy. Now, I have certain reverential respect when I see a Western Diamondback rattlesnake, so should you. But I know that Satan can use that to cause me harm, so I don't tread on. A.B. Campbell's wearing a belt that says, don't tread on me, please. It's that way with God's creatures. If they can cause harm, stay away. But look for the beauty in God placed there. We're told that he did that for his enjoyment and for ours. You know, Paul gives us a promise at the end of this passage that we are going to look at in a minute. Sin did change everything that God made. Even the little mosquito had a positive reason for being created. I don't know what it was, but I know that there was a positive reason when God made the mosquito. That all changed when Eve sinned. Everything was friendly prior to the flood, but that all changed because of sin. Paul tells us, as his readers, that God had a purpose for all the things that he created. He finishes his directive by telling us to look at the things that be of good report and to praise God for all the things that he made, creation. In verse 9, Paul gives us a promise that God gave to him. Paul, remember, spent 3 years in the Saudi Arabian desert with Jesus after his conversion on the road to Damascus. And so Paul should know. And in Philippians 4:9, Paul tells us, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Folks, God is not just your Savior. God is your friend. God is close to you. He wants to be a part of you, and he wants to go with you wherever you go. So look around. See the beauty, even in the little things that God has made, and enjoy them. Praise God for them while you behold them. Father, we do love you because you first loved us. But help us, Father, to see the beauty that you have placed for us. And help us to not just enjoy that beauty, share it with others. And Lord, we would ask that as we meet together, that your will might be done in each of our hearts. We do pray for all of the gospel tracts that were given out prior to today and the ones that are being given out this very moment by a couple of our deacons, Ricky and John. And we would ask that they will bear fruit, that you will have been glorified up there this week. Father, that your will be done in each heart. We know your will is that none should perish, that all should come to repentance. And so, Father, we ask as we close our session this morning, that your will be done in the life of all those folks. And we will praise you all the things you do, because we have